All right, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The time now is almost 2:30. Stay tuned for Ecologic with Ken Gale and Donna Stein coming up.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on following.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And this is Ecologic for August 7th, 2020. Here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
On today's news and announcements.
Ice caps disappearing.
A thawing Arctic.
Environmental activists saving in academic studies.
Congressional report on the climate crisis is wanting.
Dakota pipeline setback.
Top Trekkie, Hiroshima, and nuclear disarmament.
A young environmentalist hero.
There's more proof warming part of climate chaos. NASA satellite imagery shows that the St. Patrick Bay ice caps on the Hazen Plateau of Ellesmere Island in Canada have completely disappeared. National Snow and Ice Data Center scientists and colleagues predicted in 2017 that this would happen by 2022. We're 2 years ahead of schedule, folks. The NSIDC website shows a map of how much those ice caps have been shrinking since 1959. That melting has been contributing to sea level rise all that time. Global warming and climate chaos is not new, no matter how complacent people have been.
The worst effects of climate chaos by far, for years, have been the melting of the Arctic. Temperatures across the Arctic are increasing 2 to 4 times faster than the global average. The dramatic consequences that are already apparent include reduction of sea ice cover, accelerating loss of land ice from glaciers and the Greenland ice sheet, proliferating wildfires, and ongoing heating and thawing of the permafrost that underlies most of the land in the Arctic and subarctic regions. Permafrost thaw is a direct threat to buildings, roads, and pipelines because people have been building those things directly on the permafrost. The melting greatly accelerates erosion along rivers and coastlines with severe consequences for communities there. But much wider consequences is the release of carbon dioxide and methane by the decomposition of previously frozen organic matter, speeding up global warming and all of its impacts everywhere. We link to details in print at a National Academy of Sciences video on ecoradio.org.
We need more, not less, science, no matter what the current times might say otherwise. The New Jersey School of Conservation is in crisis. For over 70 years, the School of Conservation welcomed students, campers, counselors, teachers, teaching fellows, and researchers to its renowned campus. But now the school is closed, the gate is locked, and Montclair State University's management of the facility will end on September 1st. They're facing a perfect storm of challenges, the loss of longtime partner MSU, a statewide budget crisis, and a global pandemic. But they have a plan.
Yay!
The Friends of NJSOC is applying for the School of Conservation's management contract. Wow, that is taking action. Get more info and links on ecoradio.org.
There is a new congressional report from the House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis and analyzing the crisis and solutions in detail. Yes, it's 547 pages. But if there was ever a need to know, this is it. Approach with caution. This is a pro-nuclear report, ignoring the carbon footprint, greenhouse gas emissions, nuclear waste, and total cost of nuclear power. There's more work to be done.
That's for sure. What is an environmental impact study for? Is it to study the environmental impact of a project? That's like asking, what does environmental protection in the Environmental Protection Agency mean? The P of EPA hasn't met protection since President Ronald Reagan put a mining company executive in charge of the Interior Department in the 80s. How absurd. We shouldn't be surprised when a Washington, D.C. court said the Dakota Pipeline can continue to pump oil even before the environmental impact study is finished. The Standing Rock Sioux are not giving up the fight. Earth Justice is not giving up. And thousands of environmentalists throughout the country are not giving up.
That's right.
We link to two articles from the ecoradio.org website.
George Takei, blogger, Broadway star, and Sulu from the Starship Enterprise, has a direct connection to the anti-nuclear movement. 75 years ago, the United States dropped a nuclear bomb over Hiroshima at the end of the Second World War. 3 days later, a second bomb dropped over Nagasaki. Hundreds of thousands of people died. Thousands more were affected by the radiation and the aftermath. George Takei lost several family members, and that pain is still with him. He says, quote, "To this day, nuclear annihilation is still an ever-present threat, and I stand with those working tirelessly to ensure that no one has to suffer that same fate." The Hibakusha is a group of anti-nuclear activists, many survivors of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings, that are currently working on creating a worldwide treaty to ban nuclear weapons. Hashtag still here. The Hibakusha appeal is on the ecoradio.org website. This Sunday, August 9th, you can tune into the hashtag still here virtual event. Join as we contemplate our nuclear future by interrogating our nuclear past and present. August 9th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. That's August 9 at 2 p.m. Eastern. There is an international signature campaign calling on state governments to ban and eliminate nuclear weapons. The links for these actions are on our website, ecoradio.org.
I hope everybody goes to that and signs on. We environmentalists need to see the positive, hopeful, and youth-empowering news along with the tough stuff. Here's a young hero for you. Divek Patel, a grade 11 student, invented a game to keep the environment clean and recycle. He won a national award for Student Idea for a Better America from the National Museum of Education. He states, in many areas, especially in cities, there is a lot of roadside litter which can affect animals and the community around us. In this project, I would like to encourage roadside cleanup in an appealing and exciting way where all ages can get involved. Not only will they help clean the earth, they will be awarded for doing so. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Learn how you too can be a change maker. Find the full story and link to many articles on our EcoLinks page.
Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every other Sunday at 11 a.m. and is often a video version of EcoLogic. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of EcoLogic from the past few years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the EcoLogic website, www.ecoradio.org.
And our Facebook page is WBAI EcoLogic, no spaces or dashes. WBAI EcoLogic, and please click like.
There are links to more environmental news on our EcoLinks page, which you will find on ecoradio.org.
Boy, 25 minutes goes fast, and we have one more treat for you right now. Ken's solar lecture. Ken?
I was thinking the other morning about how over a million people were without power after the storm Isaias, and how fossil fuel advocates say the sun is unreliable. That got me to thinking about the number of times the electricity grid goes out every single year, even without storms as severe as a hurricane. Ossining Patch has many articles every year about people in Westchester without power. New York City has a redundant grid, so there are several ways of electricity getting from the transformer to our apartments, so we have very few blackouts compared to the rest of the country. But fossil fuel advocates say solar power is unreliable. We were visiting one of our friends in Philadelphia when the power went out. No storm. He was very matter-of-fact about it because it happens a few times every year. It's his normal. I'm surprised a city the size of Philly doesn't have a grid like New York City, but his neighborhood doesn't. But fossil fuel advocates say solar power is unreliable. We were visiting a friend in Dearborn, Michigan. It's a middle-class neighborhood, valuable homes. The power went out. Again, they were matter-of-fact about it because it happens so frequently. I was impressed with the number of diesel generators his neighbors had because the electricity grid is so unreliable. But fossil fuel advocates say the solar power is what's unreliable. Streetlights all over New Jersey are solar-powered, not grid-powered. Same with a lot, maybe all, of the city bike space stations, even in the New York City canyons. But fossil fuel advocates say solar power is what's unreliable. In Arkansas, when I was out there the week after the solar eclipse, I noticed that a security fence was solar powered. They clearly felt the sun was more reliable than the electricity grid. They were staking the security of their building and property on it. Fossil fuel advocates, of course, will say solar power is what's unreliable. And there's my Bayonne, New Jersey high school story. Solar power being the only source of power for miles after Hurricane Sandy and emergency workers charging their equipment there. People were also charging their cell phones. A clear example of the difference between value and cost. Those emergency workers charging their equipment, that meant that those solar panels were saving lives. But fossil fuel advocates say solar power is unreliable. Electricity sources are also unavailable when they are being refueled. Solar panels never, ever need to be refueled. Neither do wind turbines. That's what renewable energy means. the energy is still available even after it's used. But fossil fuel advocates say solar power is unreliable. The sun will come up tomorrow is a definition of optimism, because nothing is more reliable than the sun.
I love that story about Bayonne High School's solar usage.
I first learned about it on Ecologic.
Yeah.
The solar installer who put those panels up was a guest on the show and just mentioned it matter-of-factly. It's like, Tom, this is a great story.
So we want you to remember that we are listener-sponsored radio. That means we need you to be part of us. You can contribute. You can buy one of Ecologic's many informative premiums on WBAI.org or support us every month by becoming a WBAI buddy and click on Ecologic as your favorite program of choice. One of your favorites, of course, is the Lots of Love on WBAI.
There is. And you can become a BAI buddy by going to www.wbai.org or by going to www.givetowbai.org. And if you go to givetowbai.org, it's chock full of DVDs and CDs and books, all kinds of nifty stuff. So you can support us by a little bit more than membership. Membership is $25. If you support us by a little bit more, we'll give you a gift in return. And you can choose what gift you want. So please help us out.
There's been a strong effort by WBAI to make the fundraising aspect of our listener-supported shows to be a little bit easier on the listener. We're instituting a year-long schedule where there won't be long, several weeks at a time of fundraising, but just like every 4 weeks. They're experimenting. They're seeing what works, because we want your support, but we want you to stick around too. You're not going to, if we want you to stick around, we want you to show that you enjoy our programming. That's going to be a win-win for both of us. For all of us. Yeah. So, so when you go to the website, if you're listening to us right now and you really enjoy Ecologic, we've had many, teachers that have contacted us and told us that they rely on Ecologic. I don't know if they rely, but they love going to Ecologic to promote it for their students, and especially with students being at home with homeschooling. There's even more need for environmental radio. There's just not enough environmental radio. And if we have some really wonderful shows on WBAI, but we don't have enough eco shows, Ecologic needs your support. So when you become a BAI buddy, instead of just saying you want to be a BAI buddy for the whole station, which is fine, you can do that. But if you can target the shows that mean a lot to you or that you enjoy, for one thing, we really hope to be back on the air for a full hour, as we were since 2002. We do in-depth interviews and news like we've done today. Can't do both in one half hour. So eventually we know that we're going to, hopefully with your support, get back. So become a BAI buddy. Say that Ecologic is your favorite program of choice. There's a drop down window that you can choose, and we would appreciate it.
And in the meantime, the in-depth interviews are on the ecoradio.org website, and we'll stay there. There's a lot of information there. The Ecolinks page is incredibly full of information. Adding a few links every couple of weeks for years adds up to a lot of information. I've had moms and teachers thank me for those links because their kids or their students use them. And so there's no way of knowing where in the future that information is going to go and how it's going to be used. And of course, you know, kids are great at putting things together. So they'll take different news reports and different links and put them together in ways that neither Donna or I thought of. They just have these outside the box ways of thinking. And so it makes those links and the website and this show all the more precious as a result. And you're not going to hear a show that criticizes, say, corporations for that. When we criticize, say, the people doing the Dakota Pipeline, if the people doing the Dakota Pipeline are buying time on a commercial station, they won't criticize that pipeline. They wouldn't dare. There were people fighting fracking for years before you ever heard about it on anything commercial. You heard about it on BAI. I was talking about fracking before people even knew what the word meant. I have to call it, talking about methane, drilling for methane, because I knew if I said the show was about fracking, people would go, "What's that?" Cutting edge we are.
Thanks to you, Ken. I found out about fracking first by you telling me that there was a meeting with the Sierra Club where key people were lecturing on it, and I went to hear about it. I think I was president of New York City Friends of Clearwater at the time. So I went over to the Sierra Club conference, was fabulous, and got involved. New York City Friends of Clearwater was an early educator of fracking, spreading the word, and we gave a lot of energy to letting Sane Energy program, which was focused on and is focused on fracking, gave them booth space at our events and come to speak at our meetings. By the way, New York City Friends of Clearwater, every third Friday of every month, we used to be at Judson Memorial Church, is now on Zoom. Just go to Facebook and be friends with New York City Friends of Clearwater. All right. Enough of a sales pitch. So, So I thank you, Ken, for first getting New York City Friends of Clearwater involved in fighting the fracking movement.
Yeah, I was just talking about how the latest hurricane knocked out electricity for over a million people, and how solar panels all very rarely get knocked out by hurricanes. If they do, they get put off the roof and people put them back. And it's amazing how easy things can go. This hurricane season, there's an article in the latest EcoWatch. EcoWatch.com is a wonderful online magazine with an incredible amount of information. It comes out several times a week. And meteorologists are saying it's going to be a banner year for hurricanes. The number of hurricanes might be among the most of any year. Colorado State University, EcoWatch calls it a standard bearer for seasonal hurricane predictions. And they estimate 24 named storms, including 24 hurricanes and 5 major hurricanes. Now, not all of them are going to come to New York City. Many of them will be in the Gulf of Mexico. But the point is, there's a lot of them. And some of them are a direct result of the global warming part of climate change, because when you heat up the ocean, hurricanes are stronger. A tropical storm becomes a hurricane if it has more power, and it has more power if the ocean is warmer. So there's a direct result with the number of hurricanes and the power that they have. And
we have to do our weather show again soon, but right now, that's all for this 25-minute version of the show.
Oh, my God.
Equal. Time goes fast. Ecologic is news and interviews, so on the shortened version, we don't have time for both. For environmental news and the full Ecologic interviews on a variety of topics, go to www.ecoradio.org.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Hi, New York. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. A Georgia high school suspended two students for documenting its packed reopening on social media. 15-year-old Hannah Waters received a 5-day out-of-school suspension for posting a photo and a video on Twitter. A second student told BuzzFeed they received a suspension as well. The school told Waters she had been suspended for using her cell phone without permission, using it to post on social media, and posting pictures of minors without their consent. Hannah Waters told BuzzFeed that she and her family intend to fight the suspension. Georgia is facing a pandemic reality test as local school districts decide how to start the school year. More than 90 staff members in one Georgia school district have been quarantined due to coronavirus exposure or infection, prompting the school district to start the year entirely online. In Georgia's largest school district, more than 250 employees have either tested positive for COVID-19 or have been exposed. Yesterday, hundreds of teachers parked outside Gwinnett County School's headquarters and blasted their horns in protest of a plan to put teachers and students back into school buildings starting August 26th. The Georgia Department of Public Health reported a 7-year-old African-American boy from Chatham County died from COVID-19. The boy had no underlying health conditions and is the youngest victim to die from COVID-19 in Georgia. His death was reported just days after Donald Trump lied to reporters and said children are almost immune to COVID-19. The U.S. coronavirus death toll is on pace to reach nearly 300,000 by December, according to a model by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. But the Institute projects 66,000 lives could be saved if 95% of the people in the United States wear face coverings. The U.S. death toll currently stands at 160,000, by far the highest total in the world. On Thursday, the United States recorded more than 2,000 new coronavirus deaths, the highest daily figure since May. This comes as Arkansas, Montana, Nevada, North Carolina, and Puerto Rico all reported new records for COVID-19 deaths over the past week. President Trump said yesterday that a vaccine for the coronavirus could be ready before Election Day, contradicting the timeline that many health experts said is realistic. The announcement is raising concerns among scientists that Trump will politicize the process of vaccine development and attempt to cut corners. Scientists say the longer the vaccines are tested before being released, the likelier they are to be safe and effective. House Democrats are calling on Food and Drug Administration to empower an independent panel of experts to review and sign off before a coronavirus vaccine is distributed to the general public. In Ohio, Trump on Thursday accused campaign rival Joe Biden of being against God, guns, and fossil energy. Trump was speaking to supporters after arriving at an airport in Cleveland.
He's following the radical left agenda. Take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment, no religion, no anything, hurt the Bible, hurt God.
On Capitol Hill, talks between House Democrats and Republican leaders on a new coronavirus stimulus bill are on the brink of collapse after a meeting Thursday between White House officials and top congressional Democrats ended with each side accusing the other of being unwilling to compromise. It's been more than a week since enhanced unemployment benefits and a federal moratorium on evictions expired. Trump is reportedly finalizing a series of executive orders to continue expanded unemployment benefits, reinstate a moratorium on evictions, cut payroll taxes, and continue a suspension of student loan repayments. Currently in Washington, it's cloudy and 88. In New York, it's cloudy and 79. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPF.